at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Let me hear the worshipers!
You're listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Triumph Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrace Road, Boys, Louisiana, Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m., worship and the word at 11 a.m., and on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m., and at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
to praise him, amen. We've come to hear the proclamation of the gospel. Because it's the gospel that saves. Amen. The gospel that saves. Luke chapter 10. Chapter 10, we made it all the way to chapter 10, amen. Just want to lift up the first four verses. You know, we'll work our way through Luke, amen, chapter 10. I know somebody said, well, I wonder when Pastor going to change his subject, when the Lord tells you to. I'll move out of Luke right now, I'm in Luke. Amen. This is Luke season right here. And God knows where we need to be. Because it's amazing how it correlates with our Sunday school lessons so much. After these things, verse 1 says, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great or plentiful.
Yes, sir.
But we have a problem, Houston. But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord. How you handle the situation, you got to pray about it. In encouraging them to build them up and to strengthen them, we ought to be about it. Amen.
Yes.
We've been given this mandate. Matter of fact, the theme comes right out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10, when Jesus says here, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Many of us, we are coming on Sunday mornings. We're singing Zion songs. We're preaching from the pulpit. And yet, in our cities and in our nation and in our state, in our parish, people are dying and on their way to hell. And it seems like it does not move us any. Help me, somebody. The church is the only agency that God has promised to bless when it goes out to do what God has called us to do. We can't put it on the government. It's not the government's job to evangelize. We can't put it on city government, parish government, statewide government. We've got to depend on and trust in what God has said to us to grow his church and to grow his people.
Yeah. Amen.
We talked about it last Sunday and a few Sundays ago about the journey to Jerusalem and how Jesus was rejected by the Samaritans, who had their own religious reasoning for rejecting the Son of Man, the Savior of the world. And even in their rejection, the Bible says that James and John wanted to call fire down on them. He said, no, that you don't know what spirit you are. I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And the Bible said they went on to another village. They went on to another city. If you go and share the gospel, that's our responsibility. And people don't want to hear you and reject the message, you go on somewhere else. And so here it is. We must make evangelism the priority. We must make evangelism first of what God would have us to do. We'll see the master's call here that we have to have Mount Triumph a sense of nowness. And if nowness is not a word, dictionary, Brother Mike. I call it in the field. We need to have a sense of nowness, that people need to be saved right now. Why is it? I'm glad you asked. You've seen that commercial lately. You know that commercial with that woman and the deaf angel comes through the door, but it's pointed at the refrigerator. I come to tell you that the deaf angel's not coming for the refrigerator. We do know we got appliance men in here all over the place. Tyrone, Brother Russell, Brother Kenny, appliances in the house. Yes, your refrigerator will go out. And your washer and dryer will go out. And your hot water tank will go out. But you can replace them. But if your soul be lost, in hell you'll lift up your eyes. Can I tell you, eternity is too long and hell is too hot. We need to assure people about their eternal salvation. And the question comes to mind to every one of us, where will I spend eternity?
Amen. Amen.
You need to answer that question, and you need to know for certainty and for surety that if you don't wake up in the morning, like the old folks say, everything will be all right. Can I tell you, the only way it will be all right is that you make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life. Or like the rich man in hell, you will live the life.
There you go. One out of two.
Come on,
Larry. No in between.
I'm going on to proceed here. First of all, I got a few points. Notice the master's call to the 70. Because it says after these things, after he had been rejected by the Samaritans, after he had been rejected by the world, those people who came up with excuse, Lord, you know, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, you know what? The foxes have holes. And the birds have, they have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere, which means that you're going to have to make some self-denial choice. You're going to have to sacrifice sometimes. You may have to suffer sometimes. You need to know what you're really getting into. Yeah, some people will only follow Jesus momentarily because we have that king-making Jesus for our Messiah, the one who's only going to bless us, bless us, bless us. But what he really calls for is our commitment and our discipleship to him. I know we live in a world where things are all around us and we are concerned about what we're going to eat and what we're going to drink and where we're going to go to work and how we're going to have a... Yes, those things have its own place. But your priority ought to be is where, when I close my eyes, will I be, like Paul says, absent from this life? Is to be present with the Lord. No, many of us are saved and we're sure for heaven already, but you ought not stop right there. Jesus had called the 12 apostles and he had appointed them and set them apart and chosen them, but here are the 70 of these followers of Jesus. There is no mention, Sister Rosenthal, about their names. We do know the names of the 12. But nobody said anything about the names of the 70. Matter of fact, when we read, we don't even hear about them again. We only hear those apostles. But the word here that Jesus himself chose and appointed the 70. Can I tell you that unless Jesus appoints you, I know we don't hear too much about discipleship and evangelism much now because the church has fallen into a felt need mode.
Okay.
Wish I had a witness. We're preaching about your felt needs and what you need and my stuff and me, mine, and mine. We've gone into a blessing only, but we have no responsibility for the believer. But I come to tell us, to wake us and to shake us this morning, that you and I do have a responsibility to share the gospel. If the Lord has been good to you, if he has saved your soul, and he's made you whole, you ought to say so.
Amen.
Well, do we see the master's call? But as I hasten here, we see the mission of the 70, because it's right here in the text in verse 2. He said, then he said to them, after he had called them, he gave them their mission.
Right.
Because he says to them, the harvest truly is plentiful or great. Help me, somebody. The harvest is great. The harvest is ripe and is ready for picking. Oh, yes, you don't have to look too far for the harvest. Because if you look right just in your home, we'll find somebody that don't know Jesus. Your influence in the workplace to stand by the water cooler on Monday morning and tell some lost soul about it. So often we talk about 502-109 or whatever, you know what we watch. We happen to talk about those things that me and we love to talk about our sports, but if you talk about sports, you ought to leave there talking about Jesus. I wish I had a win. That ought to be a toehold into your evangelism and sharing the good news. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. That's the harvest. You know what the harvest is? That's the end gathering. That's the time when what has been planted and what has been sowed is now ready to be plucked up. But there's a problem here, Brother Bayon. It says, Houston, hold up, we got a problem. And the problem is, with the harvest, we got a few laborers. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We got a problem here. We got a few laborers. Everybody's waiting on anybody and somebody to do what everybody ought to be doing. I'm going to have you to repeat that. But I do remember, and some of you do remember, I remember this little nursery rhyme. And some of our children can attest to it. You remember Henny Penny? Henny Penny, you remember, was that rooster who was going to break some bread. And she asked the question, who's going to help me break this bread? And the dog said, not I, said the dog. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the cow. And then when Henny got the bread loaf together, then she hollered, who's going to help me eat this bread?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And they all with one accord say, I will. We have a problem, Houston, that we all need to make sharing the gospel our priority. Again, we've gotten too comfortable to go out. It costs us too much. Help me, somebody. It costs too much of our time, too much of our talent, and too much of our treasures. We can't get involved in evangelism and discipleship making. It just costs too much. But can I tell you, when it comes to Christ, He did not spare us his only begotten son. But here, Brother James, tells us how we resolve the problem of the harvest for those who've been called to go out on the mission field. He says, you need to pray. I wish I had a believer here.
I'm a believer.
Anybody here forgotten about the power of prayer? Anybody here know that prayer changes things? Elder Jones said that prayer can go where we can go.
That's right.
Oh, I wish I had a believer here.
Yes, yes.
Praise will move some of us, but prayer moves
yes.
God.
Yes.
He said, I know it because the Bible tells me when we pray, he inclines his ear to hear the prayers of the saints. Jesus in the part of their sleep. I want to challenge you and I want to charge you. Don't stop praying. God still hears and he answers prayers. Oh, we know it well. He may not come when we want him. But somebody in here can testify that he's always right on time.
Yeah.
You know anybody? You know the commercial said, got milk? I want to challenge you, sir, this morning. Do you have prayer?
Yeah.
Prayer can turn things around on our knees. We ought to learn how to pray. If we want to see souls saved and the harvest coming, we ought to be praying. I wonder when is the last time you prayed for somebody to get saved? I wish I had a witness. When is the last time you put your husband on the prayer list? If he didn't know Christ, and you put your wife on the prayer list and she didn't know, and you put your children on your prayer list and your grandchildren. You see, we have forgotten the power of prayer.
There's
something about our old generation. They knew how to pray. They knew how to call on the name of the Lord. And can I tell you, even right now, many of us are sitting in here on prayers of our folk. They pray for a better day. They pray for a brighter day. They pray that we could come together. You know what I do? The family that prays together stays together. I want to mount triumph. Are we praying? Are we praying for souls to be saved? God will move us that the mission is a dangerous mission.
Yes, sir.
And you may lose your life. Good God Almighty, for Jesus' sake. But I'm glad Jesus says, if you lose your life, for my sake.
You have been listening to the Radio Outreach Ministry of the Mount Triumph Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Come and see us at 720 Millrace Road, Boise, Louisiana, 71409. Visit us again on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
Get ready. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to New Life Ministries broadcast. I'm Pastor Gregory Tenney of the Second